looking at Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. So let me just read it before Orsa comes up to speak to us. It's on the back of your notice sheets. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Father, we pray for Orsa now as she comes and explains your word to us. Thank you that your power is revealed through your word. Your spirit is here at work in us. We pray for your blessing on her. May your spirit speak through her and to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. This week, it was a record. For the first time ever, a man ran a marathon in less than 2 hours. Did you hear about that? I've done one marathon in my life. It took me 4 hours, so a little bit double the time that this gentleman did the world record this week. And those 4 hours taught me a lot about life. It's a long time ago, but I remember it vividly. And I've had that memory in me, even giving birth, actually. Every contraction was like, big hill, big hill. Like, light feet, light feet, light feet. Yeah, I'm a bit, I realize not everyone is geared like me. But I had this great idea before this race to put plasters under my feet just in case. I thought 4 hours, that's a long time. I better prepare myself. We have something called compede. Do you have that in, like an extra layer of skin? It felt like a great idea. Big things like this putting under my feet. I know Alice did a race recently. Anyway, I put them on, and that seems like a great idea. After 20 kilometers, heavens opened in Stockholm and outpoured tons of rain. You say here, raining cats and dogs. By the way, I find that a really interesting illustration. For anyone else, this is really weird. Anyway, cats and dogs in Stockholm, and suddenly my feet started like rolling inside the shoes, so with my feet like this, these compedes rolled up like small sausages inside the shoes. And after an hour on those sausages, I realized this is pretty painful. I finished the race, and I had problems walking for 2 to 3 weeks because of the blood blisters under my feet. Maybe because of that experience, I love those verses. They speak very much to me from Hebrews 12, that we all are running a race. And I want us to look at these three verses this morning, and I think that there are lessons to learn here. It says here that we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. And it's referring to the chapter 11, where we read about our good examples of faith, of Abraham and Moses and others like them, who've gone before us. Sweden is a very individualistic country, and I think the UK is the same. It's a lot about me, myself, and I. And I want to encourage you this morning that we are part of something bigger. We are not just running for ourselves, but we are part of something bigger. And that excites me. I'm thinking that you have a race to run, I have a race to run. And it's not just about me feeling good, looking good when I run, but it is part of something bigger. And I think about it as a relay. I don't know if you watch the World Championships in Doha, but you know the relay. You're running and then you're passing on the baton to someone else. And I think about my friend who brought me to church that Sunday when I was 18. I'm so thankful that he invited me to church. Without him, I guess God could have sent someone else. But thanks for him bringing me to church, I got an experience with Jesus Christ and I gave my life to him. Someone was running before me and handing me the baton. I was telling you before about Mimi, who started up our health and fitness ministry in our church. The first thing she did for a whole year, she asked the church and said, who in here are interested in health and fitness ministry? And 8 hands were risen. She said, okay, please come and we'll meet on Monday evening to speak and to share our hearts and start praying about this. And she gathered them for one whole year, 4 hours every Monday evening. No training, no lifting weights, just praying, looking at the Word of God. How is it to be a leader in church? She put on an amazing foundation. It was prayer, it was fasting, it was the reading the Word of God. And I feel like we're standing on that foundation today. She laid a great foundation. So she was running before us. She left the ministry a few years ago, and I feel like I stand on her shoulders today. So she was running before me and handing me over the baton. Another thing that I'm thinking about, surrounded with the cloud of witness and being part of something bigger. We just celebrated my father-in-law's 80th birthday. Olle, his name is. He is a great man of God. He has Alzheimer's since 10 years back. He is a man of prayer. We just celebrated his life. We went to where he was born, and suddenly he remembers everything. My daughter said, I've never heard Grandpa speak as much as that day. Those things he remembered vividly. So we went back and we went to the church where he was raised, and he was telling me and the people in the church about his father, that there are 3 and 4 generations of my husband who were people of prayer, who were serving in the church. That was so beautiful to me. Generations of people who've gone before us and have laid a beautiful foundation. My husband is a great godly man. I'm so thankful I have me by my side. But he is in line of many others gone before him. And I think about that too, running the race. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. We are part of something bigger. And we can read that in the Bible. It talks about generations and that blessings can be put on generations to the next generation. And that is our calling too. Some of us have physical kids, but then also spiritual kids to pass on the faith of Jesus, sharing Jesus with others. We are part of something bigger. The next thing we read in this scripture, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that is hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw off everything that hinders. You know, these days, I don't know if you've seen them, but you can buy, if you feel that it's nothing to go out running, I want to make it a little bit more difficult. You can buy those vests and put in. You choose, do I want 2 extra kilos, 3, 4, 6 kilos? And it makes the journey a lot more difficult. I think some of us sometimes run around with a backpack on us, not realizing that there is stuff in here that is actually slowing me down. So I want to challenge you today, this afternoon, to think about what are things that may be hindering me on my race, the race that God has for me. I was thinking about my life. I think one of the things that hinders me quite a lot is laziness. I'm too tired. Probably every week, I think, I should quit my profession. I should go to something else. Church is wonderful, lovely, but also messy. And it sometimes wears you down. And I quite often find myself, oh, I just want to take the easy way out. So for me, I think sometimes laziness is hindering me, slowing me down. Another thing for me is I get caught up with worldly things. I start to focus on things around me. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a new car? I want to buy a new car. New cars are great. I'm not saying that's bad. But if you start focusing and that becomes a big thing, maybe it starts to become a problem. I love watching TV when I'm tired. I come home from church, it's old people. I love working with people, but then you get tired. So I find myself in the sofa and I start zapping. And boom, it's gone 2 hours. And I watch rubbish. And nothing wrong with TV, but 2 hours, is that really how I want to use my time? So for me, I think one of the things, another thing is getting caught up in things that are not important. The third thing I thought about that I sometimes carry around in my back pocket, that's fear. I'm afraid. When I teach aerobics, I teach 2 classes a week. I love it. We always have a theme of the week. Last week it was peace. And I talked about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. We do workout. We use Christian music. And then I have a sermon to preach in 20 to 30 seconds. It's the only time many of the people coming hear about Jesus or the Bible. And it's funny, I've been working with this in 13 years, and still, quite often, I have this battle in my head. Åsa, there are 3 cool new girls in the class. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They will think you're a nutcase. They will never come back. Those are thoughts that I get in my head. And then I think, oh no, that's my neighbor. What will they think of me? I don't dare to talk about Jesus. Thankfully, I made a promise to my volunteers, and I need to be a good role model. I still have to do it, but I'm fearful. So fear is something that I carry around sometimes, and that is slowing me down in my race. I want to challenge you today to think, what are things that are slowing me down? It says also here in this verse that sin so easily can entangle us. I didn't know how to, I don't know if this is good illustration. But Satan, he's afraid of us finishing our race. He will put down things that will entangle us and make us trip and fall, right? We all struggle with sin. Let's face it, you and I, and I'm a pastor. So if you feel bad, relax. We're in the same boat, all of us. And I feel that's one of Satan's biggest lies. It's like, Åsa, it's only you. I've thought that so many times. If the congregation would know, I would have to change my job. All of us are struggling with sin. The good thing is, Jesus died for our sins. We can ask for forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that he will forgive us for our sins. So I want to encourage you, don't let this hinder you. Don't let this stop you. Confess your sin. I find it really helpful to talk to someone. I can be embarrassed and ashamed, but I would choose someone that I trust, and I would confess my sin, and they will tell me that I'm free, and we will pray together. It's something about lifting it up in the light. So I want to encourage you. Don't let this hinder you. Don't let this make you trip and fall. God is a God of grace. There is forgiveness for sin. And the evil one is reminding us of that. But if we ask for forgiveness, we can become free. This is basic. I know you know this. I just feel like I want to encourage you today. And I want to remind you of this good old truth. There is forgiveness for sin. Don't let it stop you. The third thing I want us to see in this text, it's talking about to have our eyes focused on Jesus. Oh, I should say that before, sorry. One thing that I haven't thought about before, I was a bit too fast here. The end of verse 1, it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We are not just called for a random jog. I believe in jogging, but here it says we have a race that is marked out before us. There is a race for Åsa. There is a race for Alice. God has something for us in person, not just a general jog. And your race will be a bit different than mine. There are some things that are the same, that we're all called to. We are called to God, to God himself. He's calling us by name. We are called into his presence. And we are also called to share the good news about Jesus. That is the same calling for all of us. But where and when and how, that will be different from you than it is for me. But ask God, what is your calling for me? What is the race that you want to run for me? And I hope that you don't feel this Sunday, oh, another burden, something else to do. I'm so tired. This is grace. This is amazing that you and I are allowed to be part of this great race. He's asking you. He sees something in you. He's entrusted you with the best treasure. He wants you to share it with others. See it as invitation from Jesus himself. I have a race for you. I believe in you. I would love for you to share the good news of Jesus with others. That's an invitation, not a must or something that would be heavy on your shoulders, another thing you have to do. It's an invitation from Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I think to finish this race, to have our eyes fixed on Jesus is crucial. To remember what the end goal is, and also to remember who is the one called us to run. Brother Andrew is a pioneer when it comes to mission. He got the question a few years back, how come you're still on fire for Jesus? How come you're still working for him? And he said the answer to why he's still involved in mission, how can you stay involved for so long, is to stay close to Jesus. Very basic. But to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, that's crucial. I think that's crucial. Because it's not just fun to run. And those of you who are out running sometimes know that there's sometimes it is, you have a hill you have to climb. That is really difficult. And sometimes on top of that, it's not just the hill, but you might have the wind on your face, and it might be raining, and it's cold, and all the cells of your body is shouting, give up, it's done. You don't want to move one more, you know, step. And then to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, I think is crucial, not to give up. For him to be our motivation, for him to be the one that is breathing on us so we have energy to keep on going on this race. I have a mentor, someone that I meet and have breakfast with regularly. And I have asked her, I've been inspired in our movement. We have a good friend, his name is Cassie. And he says that ask your mentor to ask you the hardest questions, the questions you are most afraid of receiving. So Karin, my friend, she's asking me the questions that I fear having. And I've told her what to ask me. How is your relationship with Thomas? How are you using your time? Then referring to TV and others that so easily take my time. How are you using your money? How is your Bible reading? Because that's something that I've been struggling with. Even as a pastor, I find it sometimes difficult to live in the Word of God. And that helps me to stay on track. I know she will ask me those questions. So it's good breakfast, but also a bit tough. I'm like, okay, here it comes. We're talking basics, but it's helping me to keep track. It's helping me to keep focusing on Jesus. And I think those things are key, like reading the Bible, to live in his word, because it's so easy to be, or at least for me, maybe you're different than me, but to live and to remember this is the truth. This is the truth of who reigns. This is the truth of who I am. And this is helping me to paint the picture of Jesus and the race that he has before me. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, I think is one key too. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. So for us coming together to meeting on a Sunday, to come to our cell groups, to encourage one another, to meet together, to remind ourselves about the truth. So reading the word, meeting together, and also praying. I love praying, and I love talking to Jesus, and that could look differently. But I realized that praying with others is helping me in my personal prayer life. And when I have a good talk with Jesus in the morning, that changes my whole day. Some of you nodding, you felt that too. Where to invite Jesus and ask him, what do you want me to see today? And try to see Jesus in the people I meet. And amazing how conversations can be different when I've been praying in the morning, because I come with a different mindset. And it feels like I'm more geared into hearing his voice, and I meet with people, and those conversations more likely to be around Jesus than if I'm just rushing off and forgetting reading or praying in the morning. And also, I'm changing prayer requests with my friends. I think all of us have things that we pray for and that we long for and we haven't still not seen happen. And in some areas, it feels like heaven is quiet. But then I exchange prayer requests. Sometimes it's easier to have faith for your problems, so we can change. I pray for you and you pray for me. And those things keep me in focus as well. Other people praying for me and I'm praying for the other situations. And it feels like you have this loving atmosphere here and with the cell groups to exchange prayer requests. Sometimes you just get worn out. I've been praying for this for so long. It's been years. And then someone else saying, I can pray for you. I keep it up. So to exchange prayer requests with others. I'm coming to an end, and I want to remind us that the most important thing isn't how you begin your race, but how you finish it. To finish well. And so what I've been talking about today is one thing, you're part of something bigger. It's not just you, but think of the baton. What are you leaving behind? What is the legacy after you? And number two, what are things that are trying to hinder you when you try to follow Jesus? Are you like me, having stuff in your backpack that are making you run slower, or maybe walking, or maybe even making you sit down? And thirdly, from this text, to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to have him before our eyes. I know that Greg has been teaching you from Revelations. It's a beautiful verse, Revelation 3, verse 11. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. There is a price and there is a finish line when the fighting is over, when the run is finished. So this life is fighting. Sometimes it's beautiful. You run and you come into what we call the runner's high. You don't even feel that your legs are moving and you feel light, and it's fantastic. I think we've all experienced life like that. That is wonderful. But there are also parts when it's really tough, where you have to forget what your body is shouting towards you and just think, I will just finish. So to be reminded that there is a finish line. And I don't know what you're going through, but I can promise you that if you believe in Jesus, the best is yet to come. And I thought about this cord. Before, I used this as an illustration of sin, but now I thought, think about this as eternity. I don't want to pull out the whole thing, but it's a long, long cord here. And our life here on earth maybe is this long, and the rest is eternity. And sometimes we think, what is this happening? Why do I have to go through these sufferings? And I can't explain that. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. If we're Christians or not, this world is terrible, and there is sickness, death, there is bullying, there is what do we call it in English? Mentally problems. I work a lot with people who are mentally disorders. It's tough. Life is tough. But then when we have the right perspective, there is an eternity, and this life may be this long. And then if we believe in Jesus, we're welcome to heaven. Once you finish your race, the Savior is there to welcome you home. And then there is no more death. There is no more suffering. There is peace and there is love. And we can be together with him for eternity. So let us keep things in perspective. It doesn't always make everything easy, but it gives us the confidence and there is hope. And right now, it feels like there's so many things that are so hopeless to a lot of people. The gospel of hope, I think it's never been as relevant as it is today. For people to know there is a God who created us, there is a God who has a purpose with our lives, and he has a race that he has marked out before you. To run the race for him, to be have our eyes fixed on Jesus, and then there is a finish line where he will welcome us home. Let's pray together. Please stand up with me and we just give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. And you've promised to be with us all days of our lives, all the good ones and all the tough ones. Thank you for marking out a race for us. And we want to run for you. And I pray for my friends here. You know, some of us are really tired. I pray that you will breathe on us. Welcome, Holy Spirit, and give us strength, those of us who need. And I pray for this congregation that we will be good at helping one another. When someone is tired, someone else can give strength. And we can help one another. So help us to have our eyes fixed on you. And thank you that there is forgiveness for sin. Thank you that there is an eternity together with you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. And we pray that our lives will be a worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.